Welcome to Cave Talk, a podcast where we interview people inside the cave industry for tips, tricks, and the tea.
Welcome to Cave Talk.
Welcome to Cave Talk. Yeah. Hello, I'm here with my three siblings from Cave of the Mounds in Blue Mounds, Wisconsin, and we're part of the Brigham Rooney clan. I'm Betsy Rooney Brown.
I'm Patty Rooney Fannin.
And I am Mark Brigham Rooney.
And I'm Jonathan Gray Rooney.
Awesome. And let's just start off from the beginning.
Are we just going to delve right in?
Right. I think we should delve right in. What was your first experience with caves?
Well, I guess since I'm the oldest member of the family, I probably had the first experience that can be remembered in any way. It was as a child, about 9 years old, growing up in suburban New York City, suddenly finding myself in beautiful Blue Mounds countryside with my mother and my three younger siblings on a summer visit to find out what life in the country is about and enjoy a summer vacation and experience our cave, the Cave of the Mounds. And of course, as a kid, the darkness and the sounds of the water dripping, and then the first big room with the lights and the huge stalactite formation going up, better edit that, yeah.
You know better.
Was, you know, a really vivid experience, combined with the fun I had as a young boy in the farm family that ran this dairy operation right on the barn next to the cave, getting to drive John Deere tractors and pull hay wagons and stuff that a New York City suburban kid would never get anywhere close to. So
cows.
Yeah. Oh, I love cows.
Cattle. We call them cows.
No. Yeah, I would get up early in the morning with a collie dog and chase the cows through the culvert over into the barn, which is right next to our existing cave operation and now very integral. Of course, the cow's long gone to what we're doing, but it has changed in so many different ways. But that was my first experience.
Awesome. Yeah, like we would love to hear a little bit about the history of your guys' cave.
Yeah, that was back in 1939, yeah. August 4th, when it blew into over 2,000 pounds of dynamite.
That's awesome. Keep elaborating on that.
Anyways,
how much dynamite was it?
3,000 pounds.
3,000. Wow. Oh, wow. That is incredible. A lot of explosives.
Yeah, I took down the south end of the cave, and they had had guides or those that were working there hauling the rock out by hand.
Yeah.
And we dug when we took over in 72, 79. We had Corey Thomas and Ed Arters and WSS. Wisconsin Supply Society, the south end blockade, but went to the right, so they went to the left. They went to the left, they would have found more caves.
Yeah, wow. That is pretty fascinating.
Mark, why don't you talk a little bit about the Brigham?
Yeah.
So, the day the cave was discovered, as John mentioned, on August 4th, 1939, my grandfather was sitting on the front porch on the house he and his sister built on the top of the hill when they had moved there in 1903 and built that house. Anyway, he was a retired farmer. He and his siblings had inherited a large area of Wisconsin rural real estate from their father, who in turn inherited it from his uncle. And his uncle was the first permanent settler in our county, which is the county where the state capital is located.
What is your county called?
Dane County. And his name was Ebenezer Brigham. And actually, the first written description of the location of the state capitol is in his hand when he camped there in 1829, nearly 20 years before statehood. He was on a group of people that ultimately settled the question of where the state capitol would be located.
Wow.
And when he settled there, arrived there because of what they call the gray gold rush that was captured the imaginations of lots of people in Illinois, where he had been previously. He originated in Worcester, Mass., and then was a pioneer that had gone to southern Illinois, and then ultimately part of this gray gold rush, they called it, to southwestern Wisconsin in 1828. Was very fortunate, discovered some very rich veins of lead, and then bought a lot of land that passed down through the family because he had no children. So it went to his nephew and his niece, and they ultimately passed it on to my grandfather and down through our side of the family. So we'll be celebrating the 200th anniversary of our farm, which for Virginians doesn't sound as nearly as much as it does to the people in the Midwest. You know, will be the oldest centennial type farm when we get there in 2028.
And that's when
we'll forgive you.
That's when the we'll have the host the NCA Cave Convention.
Oh, so you guys are hosting in 2028.
Awesome. So
that's exciting.
We look forward to coming there.
Yeah, yep,
we'll
for
be
sure.
Playing up both those aspects. But
now, speaking of the NCA, we wanted to kind of get into your first contact with the NCA. So, John, you were mentioning earlier about that. So go ahead and elaborate on it.
Okay. 70. Six, we had Corey Thomas come out, who was the Wisconsin School Art Society member, and she did the original setting up of the Lead Art and Kevin Hennings and George Zacharias.
That's okay. Hard to think about all the changes, but I was thinking the way our father, Mike Rooney, wanted to make our tours more educational. At the time, they were very scripted, and they were fun, but every guide talked about all the different formations and all of their nicknames and went into a lot of detail about that. And they gave the basic science, but he hired a woman named Ann Bando, who was a geologist or had a degree in geology, and we trained our guides much more in the science of caves. So that was one thing he was very passionate about, and having more school groups. We also started adding more above ground attractions. And I think, like most caves, we wanted to come up with a brand, and we haven't gone into the attraction side, but we've decided we're more of a nature park. And so we're trying to develop that part of our business, prairies and things like that. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your attractions? So there may not be amusements is what I'm hearing, but they're still attractions. They're natural.
Well, yeah. So we have the barn, and we have a fossil wall there where we have a map for kids to identify fossils. We have walks through up to our sinkholes, and we brought a conservancy piece. So we have trails through a beautiful nature conservancy, which we negotiated so that it wouldn't become a housing development. So that was a wonderful thing. And we have, of course, gemstone mining and, yes, prairie restoration, beautiful flowers. And Westcott, one of our current GMs, is a marvelous gardener. So we appeal to that kind of thing.
And, that is awesome.
That's great.
It sounds like a beautiful property. Like, I'm so excited to visit.
I am too. And that's something that we're trying to do back at Melrose Caverns, is we're building trails and trying to show off more of the natural beauty, not just creating amusements.
Right.
Yeah, we are in the sort of business of scientific interpretation. And we want to do that above ground as well as below ground while keeping it fun, instead of becoming very super heavy duty in all the scientific detail, because we've also learned that in the traveling public, you have a very wide variety of interests. Some people have absolutely no interest whatsoever in any of the science, but they're interested in the beauty or the colors. I remember one time trailing along behind a tour that somebody else was leading, and this young couple, the guy had this super heavy-duty camera, and his partner or model or something was all arranged in such a way that she was modeling every turn and every background, and they were doing their own informal, you know, fashion shoot as they went through the cave. And of course, we're far from any of what the guide was saying. And, you know, they were there for completely different reasons than we, I'd imagine, most people would be attending. But, you know, we've had people get married in the cave, whatever. So it's important to offer a variety of ways for people to interact with it.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'll say that that kind of brings us to one of the things that we like to ask people, a highlight or a horror. You know, we've all had people who are a little bit extra, a little bit tough to give tours to. Oh, if you guys never had any of those, because I've had a couple, and I was looking for a story. Oh, everybody's
John
got
has one.
One.
John has one. Let's hear it.
Halloween.
Halloween. Oh, boy.
We had the haunted cave, and it was made to scare people.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It
was funny.
It wasn't funny.
We were running the restaurant at the time, so we had a dead dog, which was a hot dog lathered with chili sauce, and we had people moaning and groaning, and I don't know if I can tell you this one tale, but people just walked through the cave. There was no guide, and it was just darkly lit, and I had a cape, and I was hiding behind the railing between two big stalagmites in my cape, and we had some like skeletons and other fake things, and these people were kind of going through the cave very cautiously. Is it real? Is it not real? And I leapt out, spread my cape open and screamed, and the guy swung and hit me across the face.
Oh my goodness.
And said, "Sorry, lady, but you scared the shit out of me."
That is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, my favorite memory of those days, we had an excellent acting company nearby in Spring Green, Equity Actors, that put on Shakespeare plays. And we hired one of them to sit live prone in a glass coffin with a live tarantula walking around on her while she lay there.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I could never.
Folks love that.
That is so cool.
What we've done now is that our management has monthly events. So we have caroling in the cave, taking advantage of the acoustics in different groups. We've had music in the cave. In February, there's Love on the Rocks, and there's wine tasting in the cave. There's Halloween.
Well, it's Halloween. Mm-hmm. And instead of candy, yeah, the kids get a different gemstone at certain parts.
Oh,
and
that's
so,
really
and they
cool.
come in costume, then they get a free gemstone bag. So that's very popular.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, there were a couple highlights that you also wanted to go into. Yeah. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, the first one we wanted to talk about was when our father, Mike Rooney, worked very hard and petitioned with the Department of Interior to have the cave designated as a national natural landmark. And that was a big day for us when we got that designation, and just was able to promote that on our billboards and everywhere else. And a lot of people don't know what a national natural landmark is, but it sounds good. So
right. That
it
is
brings
amazing.
Visitors to our cave. So.
And along that line, our current management team were inspired to continue that appearance and worked very hard to build a large stone monument sign at the entrance that replaced the traditional arch. Of course, below it says National Landmark, and we're happy that people think that maybe they're visiting, you know, an arm of the state park or national park. So,
you mean it wouldn't bother you if they misunderstood.
They might have to get over the shock of having to pay a little fee to get in. The national parks charge too. And actually, I'm going to interject one other sort of highlight or lowlight. We were talking about the Halloween thing, and there was a real difference of opinion between my mother and my father. My mother did not like the idea of loosening spirits into this world, and ultimately was happy when we decided to stop it, to my father's disappointment. But we had a good run with it.
Well, we also had a lot of people getting drunk, and it was getting kind of dangerous
getting
in the
out
dark
of hands.
And all
that. Yeah. So good reasons to do that. But another highlight is ongoing, and that is a very exciting research about the paleoclimatic history of our area as determined through the examination of our speleothems conducted by a woman who has gotten her PhD from the University of Wisconsin Geology Department named Cameron Batchelor. And she's more recently been published in the journal Nature with further research using speleothems that's determining fairly approximately the intensity of the rainfall in certain areas. But she started by answering the question we've always wondered, how old are these speleothems? And as far as she can tell, the oldest is about 250,000 years.
So for those of us who may be novices about caves, what is a speleothem?
Well, that's the general term to describe both stalactites and stalagmites, you know, the material left behind in the process of the rain working its way through the surface, picking up acidity, and then dissolving some of the calcium and magnesium in the limestone, and then redepositing it in the form of stalactites and stalagmites. But
One thing to take note of Cameron's research is that our cave is located in what's known as the driftless area, which refers to the fact that when the glaciers came down from Canada, they split apart in the northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin area, and then came together in Illinois. So this part of Wisconsin did not have any glacier activity, which is actually why the cave exists, because it probably would have been bulldozed. So she is able to collect climate data from these speleothems, which predate the glaciers back to, if I'm correct, more than 250,000 years ago, challenging some of the data they're getting off of the Greenland ice sheets.
Wow.
Well, consistent with it, too, right? And, you know, just luck of the draw, because you can go 6 miles, 7 miles east of Blue Mounds on your way to Madison, and there's a little corner called Pine Bluff, and that is where the last glacier stopped and left this large terminal moraine, which is a great big huge hill that you have to go up as you leave, you know, as you go further to the east. But you can very dramatically see exactly where the glacier stopped, and then if, you know, if it'd gone a little bit further, we wouldn't be sitting here today, because there'd be no cave in the mounds.
Right.
And the word driftless, by the way, I just recently learned, drift is a geological term describing the boulders and chunks of rock and so forth that are deposited by the glaciers when they melt. And so we're driftless because the glacier didn't get as far as we are. And instead, we have much more deeply eroded valleys and hillsides, and makes for great bicycling and bike racing. And in fact, if the Olympics had come to Chicago the last time around, all the Olympic bike racing would have been right in our backyard.
Oh, wow.
So yeah,
that's cool.
So that it adds a lot to the overall aesthetics of the area, because it's got a dramatically different.
Yeah, so we want to say, just if there's any last things you'd like to share, go for it. And
well, we did forget to tell you how we got to Wisconsin. We came from the East Coast, where my mother, when the cave was discovered, it enabled her to go to college in the East Coast, where she'd had a relative graduate from college in 1900. So she went east and stayed there where we were all born for 30 years. And then when she decided to move back to Wisconsin in the 1970s, then we all became involved in the cave operation then.
Wow, that is amazing.
Patty and I were guides. John did a lot of the maintenance, and Mark was the legal counsel.
Wow.
And did some farming while I was going to law school. But,
Very much a family-run business. Yeah, that is so cool.
But the other deciding factor is my dad is an Episcopal clergyman working for the National Church out of Manhattan, decided he wanted to do something entirely different with his life. And so in his early 50s, put all that behind him and persuaded my mother to go back to where she was born and raised and to take on the operation of the business with which they had no prior direct experience at all.
Right.
So would you say that the caverns has really made a huge change in your life? It's really added some value and you feel like you've done a lot with it?
Speechless.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We couldn't be prouder or happier to have this in our family business. And we are just on the board of directors now. We're so fortunate to have Joe and Ann running the cave for us. Couldn't ask for better staff, and we're very, very thankful.
We're looking forward to having them on sometime because they can be a ball.
Yes, definitely.
So ditto to all of that.
Go Pack.
Go Packers.
And go Packers, yeah.
Hey, Jim. Well, that was a really good interview with the Rooneys that we just had.
Very interesting. And knowing in the future that we're going to have even more interesting conversations with other people makes me excited, along with some promotional stuff coming through.
Yeah, I can't wait for the videos that we have coming out and more content to share with everybody.
Sounds great.
Thank you for your help today. Also, make sure to check out the National Cave Association website at cavern.com.